นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ I want you to pay attention to what you're experiencing now, not to what you're thinking, not to what you're feeling.I want you to pay attention to what it's like to be. What it's like to know this, whatever this is. With a mind that doesn't favor or oppose, a mind that doesn't judge, a mind that doesn't.Want a mind that doesn't look for any further connection or dissolution, a mind that's not looking for a reward, a mind that's not running from anything, a mind that's not obsessed with the injustices of the past.Nor a mind that's trying to escape into the fantasies of the future. Not that. Whatever that is, that's not it. Do you feel anything? Do you hear anything? What is this world of experience like when everything is let go of?And when there is nothing at all in the whole world except for this. Stop. Stop thinking. Stop doubting. Be aware. The mind that wants to worry, that wants to doubt, that wants to know what's going on. Just stop all of that.Come back into that center and just be in that center and watch. Like a little candle flame in an ocean of darkness. That little candle flame is our awareness. And that little candle flame of our awareness illuminates just the few things around us.Imagine you're holding a candle in the depths of a moonless night. No light anywhere, just that candle, and you hold it, and it shines a bit of light on your hand, it shines a bit of light on your face, maybe on one or two things around you. And if you shelter it very, very carefully as you walk, very slowly and carefully, so as not to let the candle blow out,then it can illuminate things that come within a couple of meters of you. So at the very least, you don't bump into them. And that's pretty much what the consciousness that we live most of our lives with is. It's a dim, fragile, flickering candle. And at best, if we take a lot of care with it, we can avoid bumping into things. By which I mean that we can live a functional life. We can do the things that need to be done to get us by from morning to dusk. We can deal with those things that come within the very limited range of that candlelight. But not much more.And beyond that is darkness. And beyond that, well, as the ancient maps used to say, here there be monsters. So those things which are outside of our tiny little awareness, those things that have not yet been illuminated by our consciousness, they are in darkness. And because they are in darkness,We think of them as being dark things. Of course, they're not dark things. It's just that the light of awareness hasn't shone upon them yet. The things themselves are neither intrinsically bright nor dark, but there's a darkness to them when we are shrouded by unawareness. And because of that darkness that things have, we fear them. And because we fear them, we contract even further. We shelter our candle flame, our little flickering light of awareness. We cup it more tightly in our hands. We walk more slowly. And we stop that awareness from growing. We even constrict it further. Because of our fear that if we shine a light in that darkness, we'll reveal it to be full of monsters. We don't want to see in the dark. That's why we're ignorant. The Buddha called ignorance Mahatamokandaha, the great mass of darkness. We don't want to see Sasquatch, Chupacabra, Loch Ness Monster, the Yowie. We don't want to see those things. We prefer that the funnel web spider stayed in her funnel, stayed in her hole. We prefer that the red belly black snake stays in the middle of the heap of mulch. So we populate this world of darkness with fantasies whose purpose, whose sole purpose, is to keep us ignorant because we're afraid of awareness. And so when we look at that tiny little spark of awareness that we have, what we can feel, what you can hear now, the sound of my voice and a few little other quiet sounds around. If you open your eyes, you can see a few things by this dim light in this room. If you touch, you can touch things that are touching your body and just next to your body. We have that our reality, the world that we live in, is just this very, very small world. And there's like a sphere of consciousness, even within that little sphere of like our body and things near our body, there are already many things that go on that we don't know, aren't there? There's many things that happen inside our own body that we're ignorant of. Many times we don't even know what posture that we're in. We don't know when we feel a painful feeling. We don't know what's going on in our own bellies. Even our own body that we think is lit up by awareness actually is full of unawareness. And that little area of half light that we call life, picture that in space. Picture what the world of consciousness is. And the world of consciousness is that little spark of light. And then around us is darkness. We don't know what's going on outside of this little room. We listen closely now, I can hear a noise. The sound of an airplane. Or so I think, actually I can just hear a little sound. And my mind puts that together and says airplane, so that it can make sense of it, so that I can be comfortable, I understand. I've tamed that little bit of unawareness. So that I can sleep tonight. And so tiny, so fractured, so partial is our awareness. Think of your memory. What can you remember now? What can you remember of yesterday? What can you remember of the conversation we had at tea time an hour ago? What can you remember of your 13th birthday? Are these tiny, confused, partial fragments of reality. that we constitute, that constitutes our memory, that we think of as ours. It's my life. That's my experience. Don't take that from me. Don't let me lose it. How sad it is when elderly people suffer from dementia and their memory goes. They don't recognize their own children. And so even that partial, fragmentary, broken, delusory, dreamlike imagining that we call memory, even as paltry and inadequate as it is, to lose it is such a painful thing. We've lost a sliver of our awareness, a sliver of the capacity of our consciousness. From this tiny little thing, from this minuscule, insignificant little candle flame, comes everything. Everything that you've known, everything that you've thought, everything that you've tasted, every time you've fallen in love, every time you've grieved, every time you've got angry, all of these have been flutters and flickers in this little candle flame. That's your life. That's you. That's who you are. And for almost every person on this planet, almost everyone, life is walking with this candle flame, trying not to bump into things around you, trying to get somewhere that's reasonably comfortable, that you can just keep on doing that, keeping the flame alive and not being too freaked out by what's in the darkness beyond. That's for most of us, that's what life is. And everything else is pretty much variations on a theme. So we try in our little ways to grow and to expand that. If we really make an effort, we can study, read a lot of books, we can have discussions with people, we can travel the world, we can climb mountains, we can learn skills, we can collaborate on projects. We can go places no one's been before. A few days ago in the news, there was the news that James Cameron, the director, had built himself a submarine with the money he made from Avatar and went down to the lowest point in the seabed. I mean, it was about 17 kilometers under the surface of the sea or something like that. The lowest trench. First time someone's been there since the 1960s or something like that. And so he's gone to all that trouble and all that expense to explore in this hidden part of the earth, a place that's harder to get to than outer space. And there he watched, he looked, he filmed, he took photographs, and he illuminated a tiny little speck of this vast universe for himself, a part that nobody had seen before. And so through that incredible effort, all the technology and the funds and the time and the risk and all of those things, that's what he managed to achieve. And that's, from a worldly perspective, that's a great achievement. From a scientific perspective, it's a great achievement. But in terms of what life means, it's just another flicker of the candle flame. For a second, it lights up something in the distance that we hadn't seen before. And then it's gone. When we meditate, we're doing something which is quite different. We're not just stepping around, seeing a few little bits and pieces that we hadn't seen before with that same light. We are changing the light itself. We're not convinced that this dim candle flame is all that there is to being human. We suspect that in our nature there is a capacity for something more. We have heard stories of the Buddha, of other great sages, who have illuminated the vaster reaches of the human mind, the vaster reaches of the truth. We suspect that this is the case, and we decide to do something about it. So what do we do? The most important thing we do is we meditate. We turn the awareness inside. We discover a great and powerful secret, and that is that if instead of looking at those things that the candle is illuminating, if we look at the candle itself, something magical happens. It starts to go brighter. The flickering, faltering flame grows steady and still. The thin and feeble light becomes stronger. And as it becomes stronger, it illuminates more things around us. And as it illuminates things around us, we become tempted. We want to look at those things which are being illuminated. And we turn and we look at those things, and as we look at them, the flame gradually dies down again. So that we realize there's more. This is not all there is. We look once more at that flame. We look into our own minds. We see how that flame is being reflected off things. We notice for the first time that when we look at an object, if I walk with my little candle past a tree and the light shines on a leaf of that tree, I am not seeing the leaf. I am seeing the light, and the light comes from me. You never see anything except for light. You never see a tree, you never see a wall, you never see a house, you never see a person. All you ever see your entire life is light. And from the shapes of that light, the patterns of it, the frequency of that light we call colour, the amplitude of that light we call brightness. From the variations and the patterns that these things take on, we construct a world and we infer that there's a person there, there's a window there, there's a car there, there's a bush there. But we never see any of those things. All we see is light. And it's the same in our mind, that we never know another person. We never know another thing. I've been living here in this monastery for nearly 10 years now. I don't know this monastery. I think I do. When I'm deluded, I think I know what this is and I know what that is. I don't know anything. I've been studying the Pali Suttas for nearly 2 decades. I don't know anything about them. I've never read a sutta. All I've ever seen is light bouncing off the page. that I assume is there, and I make sense of those words in my own mind. And when I make sense of them, I think to myself, ah, I know what that sutta says. There's no such thing as a sutta. You never know anything except the reflections of your own consciousness. And the more we turn our mind inwards, the more we see not the object, not the external thing that we assume is there, but we see the reflected awareness, which is what's actually there. This is the process, this is what's happening when you develop breath meditation and you see a nimitta. We say the nimitta is like a light that appears in the mind or something like that. What the nimitta actually is just that you're becoming aware of the awareness. You're seeing the consciousness reflected off the thing. You're seeing the shine. Imagine you pick up a cup that has a shiny surface and you think, I'm looking at the cup, but after a while you're just looking at the shine. And you realize it's just reflected light. It's not something different to the cup. It's not another thing that you're looking at. But you're looking at the cup in a way that's, in a sense, more realistic. It's more true. Because actually, the only thing you ever see is reflected light. And when you see the shine on the surface of that cup, you're seeing the light for what it is. You're seeing it more truly, it's more real, that's more the cup than the illusory, heavy porcelain thing that exists only in our mind. And it's the same way when you're watching our breath, when we start to watch our breath, we watch that flow of physical air that we naively and foolishly assume to be the breath, we assume it to be a reality. Whereas we've never experienced that reality, all we've ever experienced is our own mind bouncing off that reality. The awareness of that breath. And the longer you pay attention, the more subtly you pay attention, the more that your mind, very naturally, without being told what to do, comes to see that reality for itself. It sees, this is the shine. This is the light. My breath is made of light. My world is made of awareness. There is nothing other than consciousness. That's all I've ever experienced, all I've ever seen, all I've ever felt, all I've ever heard, all I've ever tasted, all I've ever touched. It's these reflections and changes in consciousness. That's my world. And the more we go into that, the more we perceive our world, the world that we live in, as being something which is totally different. This is no longer a world of a flickering candle flame in an endless abyss of darkness. This is a world that is made of light. You know what the words that they use when they're talking about the Brahma realms, the Subhakinnadeva, the effulgent gods, the Abhasaradeva, the radiant devas. These are all gods made of light, made of the light of consciousness. That's what that experience is. It's a reality. It's not just a trick of consciousness that you can sort of, you know, imagine the light in your head or something like that. It's an actual transformation of how you know. The world becomes light. The world that you live in becomes the world of light. And the darkness of ignorance flees like the shadows that flee from a room when you switch a bright light on. Like the darkness that's chased from the valleys and from the gullies when the sun arises. when you can see that this world, the world that we experience, is only this world of consciousness, the world that we are aware of, when we first become aware of that, it's quite scary. It's quite, it can be terrifying, because we feel so alone. We are, in a deep sense, irreducibly alone. And if we were to stop there, then I think we would be headed down the road to despair. But hidden in that very fact is this most powerful secret which the Buddha discovered and the Buddha taught, which is that it's your choice, it's your mind. You can choose how you use your mind. That candle flame, small and fragile as it may be, has in it the potential for great things, for the greatest of things, for the only things that are truly great in our humanity. And this is what we are here for. This is what we're here to do. We're here to transform our consciousness. We're here to destroy that darkness. Your one and only job is to be aware and to be awake. Being aware and being awake is a 24/7 activity. That's your job here. Don't let anything else distract you from that. You're not here to waste time on computers. You're not here to hang around chatting after the meal time. You're not here to hang around chatting after the drinks time. You're not here to just start all kinds of projects and so on for no purpose. You're not here to sell the monastery. You're not here to be the best monk or the best nun or the best whatever. All of those things are just beside the point. We're here to become awake. If those other things contribute to awakening, then that's great. If they don't, throw them out. Treat them like the rubbish that they are. That task of cherishing and transforming consciousness is the most powerful and the most profound task that any person can undertake. Don't underestimate it. Don't think that it's something trivial or something that's of little value. It's of far more value than anything else. And so what you have here and what you're offered here is that chance to do that. Don't blow it. Don't waste a chance. Who knows when you'll get another one? Take your mind, take that little candle and turn it into the sun. So that's my talk for you this evening. I hope it is for your reflection, and I'd like to invite if there's any comments or questions.